Hey, Gone Wild Audio Backstage. This is Nickel Silver, and it's my privilege and pleasure to interview Gator Growls for Jay's Gone Wild Audio Man. Gator is a self-described, confident, heterosexual male, and the reasons he caught my ear are obvious. His exceptionally warm, resonant voice, his ability to project authority, and, you know, the growling. I like his sense of humor. Gator's answer to the question, have you ever done a walk of shame, was never. It was a victory parade. So, hey, Gator, what brought you to Gone Wild Audio on, according to your verification, Monday, June 26th? How did you find our naughty little corner of the internet?
Well, I certainly had heard of Reddit. I just had never really taken an interest in it. Back in May, Reddit was the featured app in the App Store, and I downloaded it kind of out of curiosity. After all the puppy pictures and shower thoughts, found my way over to Gone Wild, and that led to Gone Wild Audio. I lurked for a while, you know, kind of sampling the cuisine. I began to feel a bit guilty downloading without contributing, so I created a new account for prurient purposes and introduced myself.
Can you tell us where your name came from, the story behind it?
The University of Florida's annual homecoming celebration is called Gator Growl. A former girlfriend commented once that I tended to growl during sex, and it really turned her on. Not really sure my alma mater would appreciate the homage, but at the time I needed to come up with a name, that's what popped into my head.
So why do you like making audios?
I honestly just wanted to see if I could do it. I'm a very competitive person, and I kind of like new challenges. I've always been complimented on my voice, and I felt the need to contribute content rather than just continuously consume it. Once I started, I found there was a lot more to it than just recording something and uploading it, and I really enjoyed learning how all of that stuff works.
What kinds of audios have you made so far?
I found primal kinds of scripts fit best with my natural speaking style and instincts. Since I'm just getting started, I thought it would be best to keep things simple and sort of fit naturally, because I really have no experience acting beyond looking interested when my boss is talking. That ability to, you know, take what you desire and find them just as willing, I think, is a fantasy for a lot of people. I mean, everything good in life is illegal, immoral, or fattening, right?
Which kinds of audios are your favorites to make? Improv, script fill, ramble fap, ones that feature your personal kinks? You posted no tentacles, so I guess those are out.
I'm just getting started, and mad props to those who are able to improvise. I've got my hands full just trying to work from a script. Narrating what I'm doing makes me feel like a sports announcer. You know, he's got a good hold of it now, wrist flexing slightly side to side while maintaining a good pace. Do you think he can keep that pace up, Jim? Well, he's been working with a conditioning coach in the off season and seems to have added quite a bit of both volume and distance since we last saw him.
Do you do any voices or accents?
I can actually do most of the Muppets, but I fear scarring someone's childhood were I to use them in an audio. I suppose I could have Yoda getting his freak on. I mean, he's 900. He has to have mastered the lightsaber, so to speak.
Make you squirt buckets, I did, huh?
I speak a bit of several languages. I mean, enough to find the bathroom and get my face slapped anyway, so I can do a few of those accents as well.
Do you have any special skills you want to showcase? Gosh, that sounds flirty, but go for it.
Oh, my dear Lord, none that are of any use in an audio, I think. I'm a pilot, so I suppose if I did like a Mile High Club kind of thing, I could get the radio calls correct. When you scuba dive, people are shocked to learn how noisy it is down there. The fish make all kinds of racket, but it's not very erotic. So I guess the pilot thing.
Center, this is Gulfstream 116 Whiskey Alpha request. Gulfstream 6 Whiskey Alpha is G280, 35 East Neck, 5,500 feet. Request IFR clearance to climax, route titty to belly to thigh, direct pussy. 6 Whiskey Alpha.
What's your ideal audio that you like to listen to?
Ramble faps are, to some extent, my favorite. Maybe because I can't do them, but there's no acting. It's just a shared intimate moment from somebody's life. it requires a lot of courage to do, and I have serious respect for those who can pull it off. No pun intended.
What's the dream audio you'd like to produce?
I'd like to make something that's entertaining on its own, where the eroticism just enhances the story. I was looking at the scene between Vicomte de Valmont and Cécile de Volanges from Dangerous Liaisons. She starts out with gratitude for Valmont bringing letters from her love, Dansonet, but he then uses them to blackmail her. She resists at first, fighting off his attempts, until Valmont convinces her that a sexual education from him would make such a wonderful gift to her husband on her wedding night. Getting into that area where your emotions and your judgment are just at war with each other kind of appeals to me.
Why do you comment and private message on others' audios, and why would you like comments and private messages on yours?
First and foremost, to support the poster. They're posting these audios for the enjoyment of others, so it's only fitting that you let them know if you enjoyed it. Part of what motivated me to contribute was the, like, 100-to-1 ratio of plays to comments. I mean, it takes 10 seconds to say you liked it. As for comments on mine, to be honest, I'm doing it because I enjoy the challenge. If people let me know they like it, then I know I was successful at what I was attempting. If they have some notes about what they would think would work better, it's an opportunity for me to learn. I really have no ego about creative things. I know different people are going to take them different ways by design. I like to hear their different opinions because it helps me see perspectives I might not have considered before.
What do you want for yourself in producing audios? What are you getting out of it? Are you hoping for a career as a voice talent, or are you just here to make all us ladies happy?
I'm really enjoying learning how to act out things, to get emotion into them and make them sound natural. I also get a little geeky about the audio production process. I know nothing about it, so it's great when I just really botch something and end up sounding like a groundhog on helium. As for a career, I really love what I do for a living. I get to travel all over the world. Every day is different from the one before, and I really can't imagine doing anything else. I certainly don't think I can ever claim that I know how to make women happy. That teal blue box from Tiffany seems to be pretty reliable, but the rest of the time I'm on a wing and a prayer. If you all will allow me to retain my amateur status, I'll try my best.
And where do you see this going from here?
I hope I'm able to branch out into things I'm less comfortable with and maybe learn a thing or two about myself. I'd love to learn more about others in the community, but given what we do here, it's hard to walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, you did a really good job toe-sucking in that last audio. Want to get a cup of coffee and talk about sports?" I kind of float through things on like a lazy river, paddling a little left or right, but generally seeing where the current takes me.
What have you learned so far from being on Gone Wild Audio? It's a big toy box. Has anything turned you on that surprised you that you didn't know might excite you?
Probably the biggest surprise has been that there's a name and a definition for just about everything. I knew I tended to growl and be aggressive in bed, but I didn't know there was a name for that, as well as several different subclasses. You think you've been around the block and know a thing or two, and then you discover there are a lot more blocks that you've never seen before. As far as new discoveries, I was brought up in the tradition of the Southern gentleman. Women are sugar and spice and everything nice, and men are the horny penis beasts of the Serengeti. But not on GWA. The women make it very clear that they have every bit of the lust and desire of men and then some. Sure, sometimes they want to be made love to and be held and feel warm and safe, but sometimes they just want to be bent over and pounded, hair pulled, hand on their throat, manhandled, used, and generally left wrecked and unable to walk straight for a few days. I never really imagined that.
What's one little known fact about you or your audios you wish more people knew?
I spend a great deal of time traveling. It comes in waves. I'll be full tilt forward for God and country for several days and then have a few days of nothing to do. I use those opportunities to explore wherever I happen to be, visiting old favorites or looking for new ones. Most of my true downtime occurs waiting for transport, airports, train stations, hotel lobbies, and the like. I don't really get a lot of alone time to record things, but I do get a chance to work on editing them. I guess I'm really saying that I enjoy recording audios, and the feedback and requests are pleasant. I'm not really set up to operate at more than a glacial pace, though. So if you don't get a response for a few days, or it takes me a while to get to something I said I'll do, I just ask for your patience and understanding.
How has Gone Wild Audio changed your view on specific kinks and sex in general?
My views haven't so much changed as expanded. I never realized there's this whole subculture with its own social norms and standards. And marketing and media like to portray the world in neat little demographic clusters. And the current tribal identity culture means you get branded with a label the moment you pretty much have an opinion on something. But you start poking around in the underbelly of kink, and you see people have basically rejected all of that. They like what they like, and they're not going to judge themselves or others. It kind of really confirms my belief that we don't have a lot of control over our emotions. How we react to things is how we react. What we do control is how we act upon those feelings. Is it constructive or destructive? The culture wars demand compliance with the accepted norm, regardless if it helps or hurts someone. In this world, as long as you're not being destructive, it's cool.
Now, the next question here is, are you a virgin? If no, continue. So I'm continuing. I'm not even asking. I'm just continuing. What's your best sex story, Gator? I guess you can define best any way you want.
Oh, I'll risk it. Although my best sex may not be exactly interesting or impressive. I had a girlfriend in college, Julie. Julie was a porcelain-skinned redhead who could make babies jealous with how soft her skin was. She's also the single horniest woman I have ever met. As a healthy young man fresh out of the Marines, I thought I was pretty good if I got laid 4 or 5 days a week. Once, because she dared me I couldn't do it, I fucked a school teacher about 10 times over a day and a half. And I thought myself pretty impressive with that. Clearly I was deluded, because I had to begin a program of stretching, calisthenics, nutrition, and ample hydration to keep up with Julie's 4 or 5 time a day libido. Occasionally she'd give me a break and knock off after 3, but I knew I was clearly fighting well out of my weight class with her. For one birthday, though, she planned something special. When I got home, she took me to the bedroom and gently undressed me to my boxers, making plenty of high-ended eye contact to be sure to get my motor running. She had me lay down, and then she produced 3 of my neckties. I asked her what she was doing, and she just said, "You'll see." She tied my wrists quite firmly, it turns out, to the corners of the bed, and used the last necktie to blindfold me. After leaving me there on the bed, she stood and began to undress, describing to me each motion, each button, each hook, tantalizingly slowly. Her blouse, her bra, and her panties she drug up and down the length of my body, and she left the panties right on my face so I would know just how wet she was. She then slowly climbed onto the bed and positioned herself across from me with her thighs lying across mine. Her pussy was close enough to me that I could feel her heat. She then began to touch herself, describing to me in extreme detail every single sensation and thought she had. With each, she added, "It's too bad there's no one here to help me with this," or something to that effect. She followed the same steps I usually did, starting in her neck and moving to her shoulders, then her breasts, around her sides and down her stomach. And I really regretted letting her restrain me, because it was driving me crazy, and there wasn't a thing I could do about it. Finally, after an agonizingly long time, she reached her pussy. As she began to trace her lips, I could feel the back of her hand against my balls. It was driving me crazy. I started cursing her, calling her names, and telling her all the things I was going to do to her when I got free. I could feel her hand moving against me, and I could feel every bit of tension and release in her thighs. It created an almost perfect picture of what she was doing in my mind. As she began to reach orgasm, I felt her weight shift. She climbed on top of me and began running her pussy over the length of my cock. I could feel her wetness dripping down on me. She finally reached down and put me inside her, and immediately after pulled on the knots on my wrists, she tied some kind of slip knot, and suddenly my arms were free. I immediately flipped her over onto her back and went at her like a crazy man, because that's what she had turned me into. Afterwards, I think we both just lay there for a while basking in it. I mean, come to think of it, maybe that's where all of this really began for me.
Did the condom ever break on you, and what did you do?
You know, it's funny. A broken mirror is the symbol of bad luck. It's supposed to bring you, you know, 7 years of trials and tribulation. I mean, come on. A broken condom beats that by more than a decade.
Have you ever had a crazy mess that you had to explain? We're trying for a funny story from real life without getting too personal here.
Well, as I mentioned, I travel a lot. And one of the worst things that can happen to you while you're out of the country is get sick. I was in the Netherlands and I came down with the flu. I tried my best to deal with it, but each day I was sicker than the one before. I finally gave up and just told my boss I needed to go home. The first direct flight to the U.S. was out of Brussels, and I had to make that flight. I had to get home. So I summoned all my strength and somehow got to the train station. A couple hours by train to Belgium, and then a somewhat corpse-like transfer to the airport train. When I finally got there, I was just spent. I checked my bags at the station and staggered into the airport, got through security, and at the first set of seats I could find, I flopped into one. And that was my mistake. I tried to get up, and I was so dizzy, I just went right back down again. And I'm thinking to myself, shit, I'm going to die in Terminal B of the Brussels airport. I finally picked myself up and walked, but I didn't make it 10 feet before the world started to fade out and I had to sit again. The seats were in a long row down the middle of the building, so I made my way down the line, hauling my ass from seat to seat. Then I reached the end of the row. Shit. It's a good 20 yards of open space with nothing to hold on to. I was stuck. Thankfully, there was an abandoned baggage trolley nearby, so I was able to make my way to it and just kind of flopped onto it and then used it as a walker to get to my gate. And I thought, oh my God, I'm saved. But border control is at the gate. The police have to check my passport and such. There's a small guy standing at a podium, and I rolled my dead body up to him. There was a little box painted on the floor, and he told me to stand in the box and present my passport to be inspected. So I handed him my passport and told him that I was feeling really bad, and I just need to sit right here at this seat a couple feet away, and I'll answer any questions you have. No, sir, you must stand right here. I pleaded with him. I told him, I will pass out if I try to stand there. So he called for his supervisor, and this guy shows up, and they begin speaking agitatedly back and forth in French. I'm trying to explain in what little French I know that it's fine, I'm leaving the country. I'm happy to cooperate, answer your questions, I just cannot stand in your damn box. At this point, they're making the final boarding calls for the flight, and the gate agent comes over and asks me what's going on. So I explain, and now he goes over, and now they're all arguing with each other in French. So here I am. I'm going to be stuck and die in Terminal B of the Brussels airport because I can't stand in a damn box on the floor to tell them that I have no fruit, plants, or drugs on me. At this point, the pilot comes out, and he joins the argument. He turns around to me, and he asks me where I live. I tell him, which is actually a pretty small town, but he says he's been there. He turns back to the police and the gate agent and begins speaking to them very tersely. And all I know is whatever he's saying, they do not like. The conversation gets a little heated, but the pilot just turns to me and says, come on, he and the gate agent walked me onto the plane and helped me to the back row, which was empty, and I laid down. I asked him, "What did you say to them to let me go?" He said, "I told them it was my plane and I'm putting you on it." I asked him if that was legal, and he just shrugged and walked away. I just laid down and went to sleep. I asked for what came of it. So far, I've not been back to Belgium, and I'm not precisely sure what will happen if I go.
Personal would be, want to tell us about your first time?
Sure, why not? We've come this far together, haven't we? The little sister of a girl I knew asked me if I wanted to go see a movie with her. I didn't really know her, but her sister was cool, and I figured it was at least something to do, right? During the movie, very quietly, she put her hand on my leg. Slowly, she moved it higher, slow enough that I didn't really notice until she had my balls in her hand. I looked over at her, and she just had a big old grin on her face and turned back to watching the movie. I pushed her hand away, but she knew exactly what to do about that and began to rub my cock through my pants. Now, this was a new experience for me, and frankly, it felt good enough that I didn't question it. She kept kneading and rubbing for pretty much the rest of the movie. Exiting the theater was a challenge, since I was clearly excited. So the bag of popcorn I had accompanied me out of the theater and into the car. Once we were in the car, she grabbed my head and began kissing me. I wish I could say it was a pleasant kissing, but it was more like when that thing from Alien latches onto your face and tries to shove something down your throat. Now, I'm trying to get her to calm down, but she's grabbing my hand to put it on her breast and so on. And finally, I just had to push her away and told her, okay, let's go somewhere else. And she seemed good with that. We went off into a pretty rural, hilly area and parked at the edge of a field. She tried to maul me again, but I just told her to get in the back of the car. We both moved back there, and when she leaned in again, I told her to stop. I was not going to undergo another alien stomach probe. I just guided her backwards and pulled her hair to the side, and I began kissing her neck. It worked as she froze and her breath got suddenly ragged. As I kissed her neck, I moved my hand inside her shirt and under her bra. Her back arched a little bit, trying to press into my hand, and it felt kind of cool to be able to get her to react like that. I started exploring her body, kissing her neck and her collarbone while I took off her shirt. I had not been briefed that brassieres could hook in the front, so that led to some awkward fumbling until she demonstrated how it worked. The only thing I knew was not to go right to the sensitive spots. Tease around them, so I did. I kissed and nipped at the sides of her breasts, enjoying while she twisted and turned, trying to guide me. Just as I was brushing up against her nipples, I returned to kissing her neck. She was having none of that and grabbed the back of my head to kiss me. I grabbed the back of her head and pulled her head back sharply. It wasn't her turn yet. She relented and stopped trying to force me this way or that. I worked my way down her body, enjoying how I was able to kind of control her until I reached her waist. I began to nervously unbutton her pants, and she impatiently moved to help me. To be honest, I was so fascinated exploring her body that I wasn't even thinking about myself. She pulled down her jeans and her panties, and I could smell the musk of her. I moved down and I began exploring her. Up until now, it had just been pictures. And a little bit of exploring, and I realized I need to figure out what to do. I can only remember two things. Whoopi Goldberg saying that the only part of a man's tongue that should touch a woman is the part you can fit through the middle of a Lifesaver candy. And Sam Kinison saying that if you really want to excel when you go down on a woman, write the alphabet in cursive using your tongue. So I combined their advice. I gently opened her lips and began using my tongue, and found myself singing the ABC song in my head so I wouldn't lose my place. Yes, that was my concern at the time. By the time I got to LMNOP, her pussy was contracting and her legs were kind of out of control. She pulled me up to her and kissed me while she tugged at my belt. I helped her and soon my cock was free. I swear at that moment I could have used it to hammer nails through a 2x4. I lowered my hips and felt around for her entrance. I thought it was impolite to use my hands, and so when I finally began to enter her, it was a sensation I had never really felt. I just knew I liked it, so I began moving in and out of her. She came a couple more times, and once I stopped analyzing how everything looked and felt, it didn't take long for me either. Now, I had witnessed this woman have full body convulsions each time that she came. Women in movies go crazy when they come. So as my orgasm built, I'm waiting for the same to happen to me. And then I came. My first reaction was, "That's it? That's the big deal?" Her reaction was to wrap herself around me and hold me inside of her. Mine was wondering if I had missed a step or something. I mean, for all the effort people put into this, this is all I get? We got dressed and I drove her home. She invited me to sneak up to her room with her, but I was still too much of a good boy to do that. So I kissed her and headed home. So there you have it. The story of an innocent young man deflowered on a country back road.
On the one hand, you posted that you thought you were too vanilla to hold a woman's interest. Yet you've also answered the query, have you ever spanked someone with, yes, spanked, paddled, cane, belted, flogged, and so on. Well, can you unpack the and so on?
As far as being vanilla, I think I mentioned before I was brought up to be a gentleman. I pretty much secured a reputation as being a perennial nice guy. In college, girls would ask me to go to their sorority functions when their boyfriends couldn't make it. Their boyfriends just trusted me. Women I met found I was trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, cheerful, clean, and reverent. In other words, a real Boy Scout. A perfect man to settle down and have kids with. It turns out young single women aren't particularly interested in settling down and having kids. They want to have some fun first. I may have appeared many things, but fun was not one of them. And so on unpacks into really just being open to whatever my partner is into. I won't sleep with someone who I don't enjoy talking to and spending time with. I call it my fucking with friends policy. So, since my main interest is really enjoying time with that person, I have no issue doing whatever it takes that gets them turned on. As a result, I've played around in almost every genre. If she wants to be held and made love to, I'll light the candles. If she wants to be tied up and whipped, I'll get the rope. I'll cuss at her like a drunken sailor and answer to any title she wishes. I've even delivered a pizza for that 70s porn retro vibe. My personal preference falls along the primal spectrum. Once all the hormones and adrenaline kick in, I can get really out of control if I'm not careful. My ideal partner is someone who actually wants me to lose control with them. Being able to stop worrying and just let instinct and desire run free is kind of my fantasy.
You posted a thread to ask for help on improving your audios publicly, and you got a wide range of replies. What kind of information were you looking for, and which answers turned out to be the most helpful?
You know, I had a really hard time getting my question across, probably because I didn't really know what question I wanted to ask. To be honest, your response was the most helpful and entertaining. Your trials and tribulations just trying to get something recorded made me relax about my own. It was interesting hearing a lot of people's motivations and anxieties, but I was actually looking primarily for technical help.
And finally, between the pithy comments you've posted on the board and the fact you're a Southern man, you are obviously a raconteur and a natural storyteller. Would you consider writing your own scripts?
Well, it certainly would be a new challenge. The thing is, sexually, I'm either into playing with whatever my partner's into or just letting instinct drive what I do. I don't really have thoughts or fantasies. I'm either listening to her and thinking about how to make that moan even more guttural, or letting desire take over and pretty much trying to consume my partner like they're some quarry I've landed. Those few sentences are about all I have to work with as far as imagination goes. When the idea was brought up to me as a response to my question about what scripts or various authors' favorites, I sat and thought about what I could write about. Thankfully, plenty of people have excellent imaginations. Earlier, we talked about when Valmont corrupts Cecile in Dangerous Liaisons, or in Shakespeare's As You Like It, you've got Orlando and Rosalind. I really like historical fiction and classical literature, and thought it might be fun to take what Shakespeare implied and kind of flesh it out, if you'll pardon the pun. But that seems pretty esoteric stuff. I don't know what market there is for it. I do have a neighbor who's actually a best-selling author of trashy romance novels under various pseudonyms. Maybe I'll ask her for some ideas. So no promises, but I do like the idea.
Thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure.